Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
What is up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. Sorry. This week on the podcast, Caleb is the only one that has something to talk about when it comes to weekly watches, because I suck. I didn't finish either of the two movies that I started, but I promise I will have those ready for next week.
Dude, it was a struggle to finish the one that I had.
Yeah, I don't have any excuse because I love those two movies.
Yeah, one, because the movie I watched was like tough to follow. So anytime I had to take a break, I was just like, I don't have to finish it today. And so I just kind of kept pushing it off and off and off. And then I had like a bunch of shows that I wanted to catch up on and watch, so I was doing that. I'm not good at planning.
I do already. You've convinced me. I definitely got to check it out.
Oof.
But so yeah, so Caleb will talk to us about that, and then we will get into our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of Despicable Me 4.
Hell yeah!
So yeah, what do you say we get started?
Say let's do it.
Hey, it's Mikey T.
And Grant.
And Billy.
And we are the Failing Hollywood Podcast, and you are listening to the All Bros Podcast, the best movie podcast that is not us.
Yeah, second best. Second best.
They got,
don't say best.
They got some decent reviews.
If you start lying to the audience right away, they're not going to buy anything you say.
I mean, but they have awesome mediocre views on movies.
Yeah, so, they're fine. They're fine.
So keep listening for more of that.
I love it. We're just fine.
Dude,
I love how they're that. I love that adds so much, because they're literally just like with Caleb, and they go into so many different versions of my name. They're like with Rose, Johnny Rose, Jonathan, Jonton. Like, I never thought you could say my name so many freaking ways, but I love it.
Yep, you sure as hell can.
But anyway, jumping into weekly watch, Caleb, I want to hear about the sounds like masterpiece that you watched.
Man, masterpiece is a real strong term.
Oscar-worthy movie.
Listen, I'll just get right into it. I watched finally Warcraft, which is a movie I have been wanting to watch since it came out, but I just couldn't find the time to when it did come out. And then it was like, all right, I'll get it on streaming eventually. That didn't end up happening because it wasn't on streaming forever. And like, yeah. I think this is the first, it feels like this is the first time it's been on streaming.
Dude, I feel the same way.
Yeah. So finally got the opportunity to watch it. I am not too well versed in World of Warcraft. I think I had an account and I tried to play it, but my computer was super shitty at the time, so I couldn't like fully like experience it for what. Oop, thunder. I couldn't fully experience what people like got hooked on, and because it was like super laggy, and I was like, okay, this kind of sucks, so I stopped playing. So I have like a lit, like that's all the experience I had. I didn't get into the lore or anything. And because I was like, what's the point? I'm not going to be able to play this or whatever. But I knew like the basics. I knew like humans, orcs, dwarves, all that good shit.
The fuck was that?
A possible loss of power.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So if I go if I go dark, just know that's what happened.
Okay, got it.
Now I'm nervous. Anyway. There may or may not be a delay on this episode. But anyway, I watched Warcraft and I was hooked. Like the first like little bit, I was super hooked because so they start off with the story of the orcs, and the story of the orcs was good, like really good. And like I thought the orcs looked incredible, like everything was like going for this movie. I'm like, freaking A, let's go. And then it got to the human shit, and I'm like, this is dumb. Like, it was, and it wasn't necessarily that the story itself was dumb. It's just I didn't understand it, but it seemed like everyone else did. And it became hard to follow. And so it jumped around so quickly and so immediately. Like, they'd go, like, one of the, like, the main characters, he's just, like, he's, like, in this, the dwarven fields, like, with, like, smithing yard, whatever the hell they call it. But the dwarves have just made them guns. And so he gets this little letter, and he's like, oh, looks like you got this letter. You're being summoned by the king. And he's just like, let me see that. And he like reads it for a second, and then boom, cuts to him like pushing open the doors at the in the like to the castle and like walking in. I'm like, yo, what the shit? You're not even going to give us like a transition? And then like they go into like this whole story, and they're like, oh, well, there's this man that had died, like had a mysterious death. And they're like, all right, let's go see. And so they go, and then they're immediately downstairs, like in the dungeons, and then they see and then he gets stopped like in the like while he's like investigating this one dude, and he's just like, yeah, this stranger came to do like an autopsy, and then he like goes in, grabs this dude, smashes him on the table, and he's like, what were you doing in here? And he's just like, you need my help. And he's like, what are you here for? And he's like, let me go and I'll tell you. And then he's like, okay, lets him up, and then boom, they're doing like this magical autopsy on this dude. I'm like, what the shit are you like they're, it's like being yanked so suddenly across this story, and then it would jump to the orc stuff, and I'm like, okay, kind of gave you some time to relax. And I was all in for the orc story. I thought the orcs portion of this movie was really well done. It's just the humans, boom, 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 everywhere. I'm like, dude, what in the ass is happening? And so, yeah, it got real hard to follow real quick. The humans were a majority of this movie, which sucked. So yeah, what I overall didn't really dig it, but visually, this was incredible. The special effects team on this did so well. It is a beautiful movie. It jumps around like no other, and you understand a lot of what's going on, but visually it looks super killer. But yeah, overall, so this is on Netflix right now if you guys want to go check it out. I am going to be giving this a nothing better to do recommendation, because if you want to see some cool special effects and you're in for like the orc story, you can get some enjoyment out of this. Otherwise, probably not. Like I think it relies too heavily on you knowing World of Warcraft.
Whereas, thinking of, you know, like another, movie based off a game, I feel Dungeons and Dragons Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves does a good job of explaining to people that haven't played the game and making it easy to understand what's going on.
Oh yeah, that one's super easy to understand. So, yeah, they needed to take some notes from that, or maybe that's where Dungeons and Dragons got their notes.
They could have.
But yeah, World of Warcraft is popular, and I feel it's popular not just for the gameplay, but for some of the stories that they share, because people get super excited about the new like storylines that are like that are coming out and new adventures and stuff. So I know the storytelling has to be kick ass. So I would love to see something with this. Like, this had the right bones.
Yeah.
This had like a good, I guess it was technically the B story, but they started it off. But anyway, so the orc story is, like I said, kind of a B story. They did leave it open with a big cliffhanger, and I'm like, you guys got a little presumptuous.
They got a little cocky.
A little bit. Damn. And can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so sing the Thunder Buddies theme song, okay? That's all you got to do.
Anyway, yeah, if they would have cleaned up the human story, so the movie's 2 hours long. I feel like it could have been a little longer and it would have really benefited from it. Because like what was happening in the story, it was, like I said, it felt very quick paced. Yeah. It was just too quick because it was like jolting me to like the next storyline. And I'm like, dude, freaking slow down. Yeah. So if it would have taken a little time to freaking like chill.
Yeah.
I think it could have benefited. Like I bet this overall, I think this probably could have done with maybe an extra 20 minutes, maybe 25. Like I think that's just about how much it needed.
Okay.
Just to get real ironed out. My only complaint other than that, and it's kind of a big complaint because the story is a main portion of the movie.
God damn.
Yeah, that one sounded real close by.
Oh, shit.
Dude, like, no shit. That sounded like it split a tree.
Oh, God.
Anyway. What was I saying? Freaking struck the words right out of my mouth too.
Oh, it was like something about a certain storyline.
Yeah. If dude, I'm completely spacing.
The thunder's cooler than the freaking storyline.
It is. I think if they could have done like focused more on the orcs. I think that would have really been, oh no, I was getting on the acting, the cast was pretty good in terms like everything with the orcs was dope. Like the acting was, the humans freaking sucked, dude. Like the dude who plays like the main hero he's like a knight or something, but he's like the main human character. His acting was just abysmal. He has like his son gets freaking bushwhacked in front of him, and he just kind of stands there with like not even really reacting. Like he doesn't like scream out for him or anything. Like you see him you see him trying to like there's this force field that's put around them, and he gets caught. His son gets caught on the other side of it, so he can't break through. Like no one can get through. And so he's trying his darndest, like using shields and stuff to try and like protect himself because it's like a lightning shield and it's not working. And so he just kind of like sits and watches, and then his son gets freaking bushwhacked. And then this orc is like mocking him and like bushwhacks his kid. And he does like almost doesn't react to it. And then it cuts to and he's like he's drunk. And then this half orc, half human character, who's supposed to be like the eye candy, which she was just like colored green and given like tiny little tusks, and it hid nothing, like nothing but freaking skin. And like I said, she's the freaking eye candy, but she comes in and he's just like kind of teary eyed, and then they start macking out. And I'm like, dude, are you serious? if that shit bothered me to no end. like that acting was just horrible. Some people were bringing their A game, but the people that they focused on were not, other than the orc characters. But yeah, I was a little disappointed, and I want this. I really wanted this movie to be good, but I completely understand why this bombed.
How badly did it bomb? I'm curious.
Let's see.
Let's see who can pull up numbers faster. I mean, like it barely made any money. Like it broke even and then made some.
Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah. It's, what are you? Are you okay?
So I'm on Wikipedia. That's where I always go for. Because Wikipedia is saying the budget was $160 million. Box office was $439.1 million.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm looking at, too. I'm on the Box Office Mojo.
Okay, that's always a great place to check.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, so $160 million. Domestically, it didn't make its money back at all. But internationally, it did.
Okay, so this is up.
But I don't think it did too bad.
It honestly didn't.
It's almost like now that I know these, like I can see these numbers, I'm surprised it didn't get a sequel.
Yeah.
Like it did well enough that I feel like, or maybe they were just like, nope, cutting it too close. Interesting. Anyway. Yeah. So that's what I watched this week. Kind of a letdown, because it's one of my like more anticipated, like it's one that I just like, ooh, can't wait to watch it for so many years.
That's always the worst.
Yeah, and it just overall let me down, so
damn,
bit bummed out.
All right, well, what do you say we get into our headliner of the evening?
I say let's do it.
All right. All right. I don't know why I said it so loud. Before we jump into our breakdown of Despicable Me 4, Caleb, do you want to let people know how we review movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give our own personal score at the very end. With this being an animated movie, we will be substituting the effects and costumes with animation and character design, respectively. And then personal score at the end, all those numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So if you have not seen Despicable Me 4, spoilers ahead. Yes.
This
one might be tough to spoil because it's just like, it's the same as like any other Despicable Me movie.
Oh, honestly, if you're thinking like, oh, this is going to be just like the previous 3, yeah, it's going to be. And that's not a bad thing.
That is
one of the best things that I feel you can say about this franchise is its consistency.
Yes. So we will be posting that spoiler warning right now. And if you choose to listen beyond this point and anything is spoiled for you, too bad.
Sucks to be you.
Yep. So without further ado, we are going to jump into our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
Excuse me. Sorry. All right. Anti-Villain League, AVL, Agent Gru attends a reunion at his school. I'm going to butcher the hell out of this. Le Chi? La Si? I don't know. Let's just go with La Si. Passbone, where he reunites with his rival Maxime Lamal, who has a feud with Gru for stealing his talent show act when they were younger. Maxime reveals he has enhanced himself with cockroach parts to make himself out overpowered and so he can conquer the world, but Gru has him arrested with the help of the AVL. Maxime escapes prison with the help of his girlfriend Valentina and reveals his intention that turns people into human roach hybrids, which he plans to use specifically on Gru's biological infant son, Gru Jr. Silas Ramsbottom visits the Gru household to inform them of Maxime's escape, and the AVL will have to relocate the Gru family to a house in another town named Mayflower under new identities until Maxime is captured. Most of the minions are taken in by the AVL, where Silas selects five of them, Dave, Mel, Gus, Tim, and Jerry, to be augmented with powers under an initiative called the Mega Minions, but the initiative is called off after the group causes collateral damage in a city. In their new, well-off residential town, Gru and his family meet their neighbors, the Prescotts, and their teenage daughter, Poppy. Poppy, an aspiring villainess, recognizes Gru from his former career as a villain and threatens to blow his cover unless he helps her pull a heist to steal Lycée Passbone's mascot, a honey badger named Lenny, so she can be enrolled there. The pair, with the help of two minions and Gru Jr., successfully steal Lenny from the school. The school's elderly principal... I'm going to butcher this too. Ubelschlecht?
Sure.
Okay. Principal Ubelschlecht identifies Gru via security cam footage and contacts Maxime to inform him about Gru's whereabouts using a tracker in Lenny's collar. The next day, while Gru and Lucy are away at tennis practice with the Prescotts, Principal Ubelschlecht visits the house to interrogate the girls about Gru's whereabouts. Gru and Lucy rush back home after being called by Margot, and they fight Ubelschlecht. Lucy also contacts the AVL, who in turn calls the Mega Minions out of retirement to stop Maxime. In the chaos, however, Gru Jr. leaves the house and is spotted by Maxime and Valentina, who proceed to kidnap him. With the help of Poppy, Gru meets up with Maxime at a building where he reveals he has transformed Gru Jr. into a roach hybrid and fights him off with Gru Jr. Gru's encouraging words to his son manage to break Gru Jr. free from his state and attack Maxime instead. Maxime falls to the ground where he is further squashed by the Mega Minions and the aid of other animals and insects who arrive in turn to arrest him and Valentina. Gru and his family return to their home, where Dr. Nefario reverses Gru Jr.'s transformation. Gru later visits Maxime in prison to talk and settle their differences. The pair then perform Everybody Wants to Rule the World for the prisoners, including all of Gru's past adversaries, while Poppy is shown to have enrolled in Lycée Passbone.
Hell yeah. Oh. This... out of the four Despicable Me movies, this is probably my number two.
I think I would agree with you there. I think we discussed this. It would go the first, the fourth, the second, and then the third, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My least favorite's the one with his brother.
Oh, yeah. Drew was kind of annoying.
Dude, that's so dumb because Gru was just Gru.
Yeah.
But like happy and chipper.
I love how Drew's only in one scene of it. He's mentioned and then he's just in the final scene.
Yeah.
But freaking, I will say Despicable Me 3, I love the villain, Balthazar Brat.
Yes. Like,
he was great.
Yeah. This villain was super good too.
Yeah, freaking Maxime was freaking fantastic. We'll get to him with acting, but oh my god, Will Ferrell, fantastic in this role.
Oh my gosh, dude, freaking perfection. This made me want a Steve Carell, Will Ferrell comedy.
I mean, you could watch Anchorman.
I know, like other, like just more like just the two of them.
That's fair.
And I feel like Steve Carell was just kind of like a background character.
You know what? I've always, because you know, I've seen some, you know, behind the scenes when it comes to The Office, and I remember when Steve Carell left the show, and you know they needed his replacement. Their original plan was to have Will Ferrell be him, but then they were only going to have Will Ferrell for a couple of episodes. And so I can't remember. Have you seen The Office or no?
No.
Okay. So at the end of season 7, I swear season 7 is when Steve Carell leaves. He's training Will Ferrell's character to take over for him. But the problem is that I feel sometimes Will Ferrell is not that great at playing a straight guy. It's very hard to watch him not do comedy, to like not be the one making the jokes. And so like he banters off Steve Carell very well. Like they actually do have some very good comedy moments. It's just when Steve Carell leaves the show and then it's all Will Ferrell for a couple of episodes and he's like the straight man, it is so freaking weird.
Oh man.
I'm just like, no, this is not the Will Ferrell I love.
That one's tough, especially with like the character that they built with Steve Carell, like being so goofy. It's like you almost can't have two of them. So you kind of need a straight man. And typically I feel like other people are the straight man to Will Ferrell. Like it's not really the other way around. And yeah, man.
Yeah. Like freaking, he said recently that I forget the guy that played his dad in Elf, who unfortunately passed away. He said that he commented on how he found Will Ferrell so annoying when he would do scenes with him, like how he was acting. But then he like when he watched the movie, he's just like, okay, wait, actually, that's brilliant. And he like thinks the movie's a masterpiece.
That dude, that movie is a freaking classic.
Oh yeah, Elf is fantastic.
Yeah.
But sorry.
But yeah, dude, getting like right into this story though, it was paced really well.
It was definitely better than I feel some of the other ones. I feel, you know, we kind of brought it up earlier. The thing that I love that I can expect from the Despicable Me movies is consistency. I know what I'm getting into. I'm going for Gru and his family going on another adventure. And we're going to have some minion antics along the way. And that's not a bad thing. I still have a good time. Do I laugh at every single minion joke? No. But do I laugh at quite a few? Yes. The potty humor from Minions is still funny. It is. It's just when there's too much that I'm just like, okay, let's back it up here a little bit.
I'm a sucker for Minions, dude. I found them so funny this go around. Like, which is weird. Like, in the Minions movies, I find them so much more annoying than I do in Despicable Me.
See, I think because in the Despicable Me movies, it's like the perfect balance of them. It's perfect balance between Gru and
it's Gru like and his family. It's like Gru and his family kind of dilute the Minions a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I enjoy these movies way more than the Minions movies. Even though I've heard actually, and I still haven't watched it, that Minions 2 is actually really good. It's one of the better movies of this franchise.
Is that Rise of Gru?
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well,
not much.
That Minion. Yeah, the Rise of Gru is honestly just a Despicable Me prequel.
Okay.
It had no business being called Minions. Like other than it having like Kevin Stewart and Bob.
Okay.
Like as the focus, but yeah, it was so focused on Gru and like the Minions were like this. It was like a side story. They were still like a major part. And like, I would say like the movie was probably split 60-40 and
oh, wow.
Yeah. And the Minions were the 60.
Damn, that is super close. Holy shit.
Yes. So I think that's what helped it a lot is because like I liked the Gru stuff and it helped dilute the Minion shit a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, wow. I'm curious what they're going to do with Minions 3. I'm assuming you've heard that was announced, right?
I assumed. Yeah. The Minions...
Oh, dude, freaking after the weekend the box office opening for Despicable Me 4, like, I had a feeling either the fifth one or Minions 3 was going to be announced.
Dude, Minions has no business being a feature film.
Dude, freaking, like, I mean, but it made over $1 billion.
God
the
damn.
First Minions movie made over $1 billion. It was the first Despicable Me movie to do it.
They're going to run that franchise into the ground.
Oh, yeah, dude, 100%.
Like, don't get me... Like, I would watch Minions shorts.
Yeah.
Like, give me, like, 10 minutes of Minions. Like, I could handle that. Like, I could absolutely handle that. But give me an hour and a half of just straight Minions, I'm going to get sick of them. You have to have something to dilute.
Yeah.
Otherwise you just get some just horse shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like with this, I really liked seeing Gru be a bad guy again. Like with the heist.
That was awesome.
That was so fun.
The way that he was able to make what was in a diaper bag work, that was freaking badass.
That was, oh my gosh, dude. I love that. And it just shows that, like, I love ingenuity. And so when that whole scene was happening, and I took Iris to go see this movie, and she actually like is so really good at picking up context now, or just like fit, like kind of piecing stuff together. And I love it because so when that scene happened and like the minions that were with them came and like jumped down to like get the baby stuff. She grabbed my hand and she's like, "Who's in the balloon?" And I was like, "What?" And then it the balloon, like, it showed the balloon flying off. I was like, "Ah!"
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, I love that she pointed that out because she's just like, "Wait a minute." And I'm like, "Dude, this is perfect."
Oh,
and
that's great. I love that
she, like, other things that would happen. She, like, her commentary was so good. Like, she's just like, "Oh, that's not good." Like, I just get that a lot. Then just like that, the minions antics, she was just giggling like crazy to herself. It was so funny. Like, she was laughing so hard, she spilled some of her icy on herself.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, dude, this movie is perfect for her. So I feel like I might hold this in higher regard just because I had such a good time watching it. But I felt like it was a really well structured movie. Like, I like that there wasn't some like preachy moment with Poppy about like, "Oh, you don't want to be a bad guy." It was just like, "Yeah, you do you, boo." Just like,
yeah, I appreciated that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that she didn't like freaking turn on him.
Yeah, like, dude. Oh my gosh. I was so ready for that to happen.
Same here. But no, after the heist, she stuck by him. Like, that was great. So, like, kudos to Illumination for not doing a stupid twist with Poppy.
Yeah. I like that she kind of, like, connected with the girls, too.
Yeah, yeah, I loved that.
But, oh, so good. Like, all of the side stories were really good. The only one I didn't really like was, what's her name? The wife.
Oh, Lucy?
Yeah.
Really? I actually really liked hers.
The reason I didn't like hers is because they just kind of cut that story short. I felt like that needed to be like recurring.
Fair. Okay, yeah, I would have especially liked that because, like, that was the funniest scene.
That was super funny, and I was super pumped for more, and I was really bummed when we didn't get any.
Yeah.
I was hoping for just, like, something else. Just like, it's just anything. Yeah. Like, you had time while Gru was going after the baby.
Yeah, that's true. But, oh, well. Freaking, yeah. Oh my God, what was her, there's a scene where, you know, they're all going over their new identities and they're saying their names. And Margo's just like, Bree, like, are you kidding me? And Lucy's just like, what? Bree's a great name. At least it's not. And she lists off all these names. And I can't remember what the mom, like, she makes a joke about a certain name and they all like look at her and she's like, that's my name, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can't remember. Blanche, that's what it was. Thank you.
Yeah, she's like, oh yeah, what about Blanche? Like, yeah, it could be Blanche. Blanche is a horrible name. That was funny.
that was really good.
But I dug what this movie was, dude. Like all of it. I loved the baby. I thought the baby was so funny.
See, funny, I found the baby annoying.
Did you?
Yeah, I could have done without the baby.
Oh, I liked the baby a lot.
Like, when it comes to like animated babies, Jack will always be supreme. And,
absolutely.
And I don't know, just I find a lot of other animated babies annoying. And I'm sorry, Gru Jr. was one of them. Just did not vibe with him.
I dug him. Like, I thought he was annoying at first too. It wasn't until they like started connecting a little bit that I was like, all right, I dig this kid. And then when he turned, I liked his little cockroach look though.
That was cool.
That was so cute.
I don't know why. Just his like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's, I don't speak baby, but just the baby switch over to helping his dad just felt so sudden to me.
I don't think so. Like, especially with like how well they connected. I like, especially during that heist. I think that heist did a lot of like good work for them.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I dug it. I thought that like what they did was super sweet, and it was funny when he got turned into a cockroach and he was like giving the whole like, oh, I love you speech to him or to Gru Jr. Iris was actually getting like super emotional.
Aww.
And she's like, she like tugged at my arm and she's like, daddy, can we go home? And I was like, why? Like, the movie's not over yet. She's like, I just want to hug Levi. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, she powered through and she's just like, I like that movie. It made me think of Levi. I'm like, oh.
Aww. How adorable.
I know, the shit melts your heart. But I don't know. Like I said, I think I might hold this story in higher regard. It's I am trying to be realistic about it. I'm not putting this like,
I swear to God, if you put it in the 90s,
it's not in the 90s. It's not. Okay. I'm struggling putting it in the 80s.
Okay. All right.
And I think it's really close. It's really close, but it's just, it is a very average story.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like that's a fact that I cannot argue, and I can't make an argument against it either. It's just this, like, all the bonus points, I think I'm going to try and save for personal score, but this is something where it's
with Inside Out 2.
I know this is, I'm putting this at like a 78.
Okay. That's not bad. I'm just going to be a little below you at a 74. Literally, all right, everything next you up said.
We got writing. Dude, the writing, there was some jokes in here that were nice little gems.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I feel my favorite writing, and just because it just put a smile on my face, was the ending when they're in the prison and there's just a nice shot of every villain, not only that Gru has
but
dealt
the
with
minions
the,
did
yep,
too.
The freaking the couple from the first Minions movie, like that one especially, like, made me smile. Like, for how much I do not like the first Minions movie, I love the evil couple that is in the first Minions movie.
Yeah,
and so that just made me smile.
That made me smile too. Seeing all of them like back together was awesome. Freaking loved it. My favorite joke though was at the beginning with, I think it's Agnes. Is she the like the littlest girl?
Yes.
It was with Agnes showing Gru her new trick with her goat. And she's like, sit. And then he poops. And then she's like, oh man, I said sit. And I'm like,
Dude, favorite joke as well.
That was perfect, dude. That was such a good joke. Like, I was not there for the potty humor. Like when he pooped, I was like, oh, frick. Like, we're not even like 5 minutes in, dude. Like, come on, serious. And then they hit me with that. And I'm like, this is comedy gold.
That kind of felt like something just because it's like so subtle and like something like only adults would get. That felt like a Shrek joke.
It did feel like a Shrek joke. That very much felt like a Shrek joke.
But in the best way possible. Like Caleb said, best joke of the movie. Freaking hilarious. Yeah. Caught myself laughing a good amount at that.
Yeah, I really like that stuff. Oh, man. But I think, honestly, that was the single best joke in the movie. And the rest, it was like I got a couple chuckles. It was mostly out of the stuff the minions were doing.
Oh, yeah. I think I hate that it got ruined in the trailer, but when the Mega Minions are first introduced, everything that happens with them is still funny. Like freaking, especially the one that has like the like heat vision.
He's my favorite.
Like, yeah. But like it burns, you know, like it breaks the coffee, it breaks the microwave. But in the actual movie, like it just keeps going further. Like it's like literally the beam just stretches across the world and it's freaking hilarious.
Dude, they put that whole sequence in a trailer.
Yeah, they did.
That I saw. And I was like, damn, like can you guys leave a little to the imagination?
No, dude, they can't. They have to spoil everything in trailers.
No joke. Like I am on a Deadpool and Wolverine like salt like freeze. Right now, I'm like, I don't want to see anything else.
Dude, it's I feel Deadpool and Wolverine has like reached the levels of Endgame. I don't want to see anything else. Like I saw the first two trailers. I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah. But this one, I wish they would have left some gags for the movie.
I will say, I think a good one, and honestly, I would have been fine if it went on for longer was the Minions party bus. That was actually a good gag, and the fact that like freaking the bus driver stands up and like has this moment being like, y'all need to behave and sit down, I've been working for the AVL for as long as I can remember, and then freaking Minions just pile on him.
Oh my god,
like shut the hell up, dude.
That was perfection. I really like that too. Like it was stuff like that. Like a lot of the cheesy Minions jokes. It sucks that all of the good stuff was in the trailers.
Yeah. No, like seriously. Like for especially one, it's like at the beginning of the movie when you see Gru driving up to his old school, and then right after he pulls up, the freaking Minions car pulls up, and seeing them struggle to get out, it's freaking hilarious. And then you know they switch into their business attire. But I didn't want to see that in the trailer. I would have preferred to see that in the actual damn movie. Cause that like I laughed in the trailer and like it was still funny in the movie, but I wish it wasn't
slightly less so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the dialogue overall was just freaking basic as it could be. Like other than like a few well-written jokes, a lot of the other jokes were just stuff that the Minions were doing. And you don't really need to write anything for that.
Yeah.
At least in terms of dialogue. Like, obviously, you have to write the scene out, but I don't know.
I will say that I feel Margot, for her writing, is sometimes inconsistent because, like, I don't know. Maybe she just hasn't fully come to terms with it. But when she refers to Gru and Lucy when talking to Edith and Agnes, she'll say, oh, you know, say goodbye to mom and dad. But
and then she calls them Gru and Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I noticed that too. I'm like, consistency. Come on.
Come on.
Like, it's not hard.
Yeah. Like, and you think for how much Gru, especially Gru and Lucy, of course, have done for these three girls, that Margo would have, I would hope that she'd be on board of calling.
I know. Unless it's just one of those things that she's just doing for the littles.
Okay.
Like, it could very well be something like that. But writing overall, I'm probably on the, that's something I'd probably give a point higher. Not, it's not much. And I'm given that point, that single point is for the sit joke. Because that's how hard it made me laugh.
I think for that shit joke, I'll go up like 2 points. I'll go 76.
Okay.
And I'll also go up 2 points because I appreciate that that in all four of these, the characters' writing is always consistent. Like none of, especially, you know, Gru, Lucy, Margot, Edith, and Agnes, like none of them do like a complete 180 on you or a 360. Like they're not completely different in the next movie. So I appreciate that these characters were the same in this one as they were in the first.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Next up, we got acting, which going through this cast list real quick. Start off with Steve Carell, who did the voice for Gru.
The goat.
Kristen Wiig, who did the voice for Lucy. Will Ferrell did the voice for Maxime. Joey King did.
Oh, shit. I didn't change it. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm fired.
She did the voice for Poppy, not Zara Ford. Pierre Coffin, who did the voice for all of the Minions. Sofia Vergara, who did the voice for Valentina, who is Maxime's girlfriend. Chris Renaud, who did the voice for Principal Ubelschlet.
Sure, yeah. Let's go with that.
Miranda Cosgrove voiced Margot. Dana Geyer, who voiced Edith. Or is it Geyer?
I have no idea.
Okay, so Dana, I'll say Geyer. She voiced Edith. And then Madison Poland, who did the voice for Agnes. All right, what's your top 10 look like?
Top 10?
Oh, not top 10. Top 3.
I was like, what? Damn, dude.
I don't know what I was looking at. I just saw a one and a zero. I just saw a one and I was like,
no, that's fair. That's fair. So as much as I love Steve Carell as Gru, I love him. He's great in this role. I would give him number two. Will Ferrell gets number one as Maxime. Because he's phenomenal in this role, and I loved him so, so much. So Will Ferrell, number one, Maxime. Number two, Steve Carell as Gru, because always a classic. Love him. I love this character. I love his voice as this character. And, like, no problems. Great, great all around. Third
is tough.
It is. And I think maybe just because I freaking loved that, like how good of a job she did with her like freaking brace face voice. So I think, oh shit, I think third. Oh my God. Yeah. Third, I'm going to give to Joey King, who played Poppy. Like,
you son of a bitch. That is exactly what my top three
really
looks like.
Hell dude. Yeah. Let's go. Dude,
her lisp was so freaking good.
It was on point. Dude, freaking Joey King is great in everything.
Dude, no shit. Freaking, we were watching Family Affair. Or Braille only caught like little bits and pieces of Family Affair. But she kept telling me, she's like that actress just overacts a lot. And I'm like, no, she doesn't. Aww. I'm like, you freaking put some respect on Joey King's name.
Exactly.
Like, Joey King is a freaking treasure.
Yes,
and after this movie, she can freaking voice act too? dude, what?
She can do no wrong. She really can't. Ugh.
I love her. Dude, and I love that she's like, she's not afraid to take on crazy shit too.
Yeah.
Like that, that one Hulu series that she's in where it's like the mom is like poisoning her.
Yeah, the Gypsy Rose Blanchard one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude, freaking phenomenal performance. Like,
you've watched it?
Oh yeah, freaking.
Okay. I've been hearing like mixed reviews on it, but I do want to watch
it. Freaking her performance, and then the guy that played Nicholas Godejohn, like seeing interviews with, I'm not going to get into the case because like I have a lot of problems with Gypsy and just, you know, like everything that happened. But the guy that does that played Nicholas Godejohn, her boyfriend in this whole series in this part of her life, he gets the voice down like to a T. Like, compare his voice to how Nicholas Godejohn's voice actually is just, it's insane on like how alike it sounds. Same thing with her voice compared to Gypsy's. Like, both of these actors like did their homework. And I remember seeing an interview from Gypsy saying, like, asking like, oh, she had watched it, and she's like, no, I don't really plan to. And they're just like, oh, why? And she's like, well, I lived it, and so I don't really want to relive it. I'm like, you know what? That's fair. Yeah.
It's like, coward. Relive your trauma.
Have you seen all the like the drama that's going on with Gypsy right now?
Isn't it just she? I had no idea who that was.
Really? Oh,
yeah. Okay. So like, I've seen people post about it, but I was just like, I don't know who the hell this Gypsy Rose character is or person is.
Really?
So, yeah. So I had no idea who that was. I didn't realize that was who she played.
So, okay. So have you done like a little bit of research into it?
Not even a little bit. All I know is that she's pregnant. And
okay. So you don't know her backstory at all?
No. So all I know is that her mother did some shitty stuff to keep her sick.
Yeah.
And now she's pregnant. And that's okay, all I know.
So, all right. 30-second recap here. Here you go. So yeah, her mother did a lot of stuff to keep her sick as a child. Had like a lot of doctors write-ups like forged for what diseases she had. Like if a certain doctor wouldn't do what she wanted, she would move to the next doctor. And basically, Gypsy found out the truth. She was dating this guy named Nicholas during the time. And so they plotted to kill her mother because this was the only way that she saw out. And so she...
Fair? Had...
And so Nicholas was the one to... So one night she let Nicholas into the house. Nicholas walks into her mom's bedroom, stabs her to death. And then they run away together, but they're caught. Nicholas Godejohn gets life in prison, but Gypsy Rose only gets 9 years.
That's bullshit.
Yes, very much so. because Nicholas Godejohn, I know he killed someone, but he is unfortunately definitely not all right up there. He does have mental problems, and he fell head over heels for Gypsy. She manipulated him. And I do not believe that he should be serving a life sentence. I feel that they should reevaluate his predicament. And I don't think Gypsy should have gotten released as soon as she did. She plotted it.
Oh boy.
She helped plot it. Dude, does the show
like kind of like show all this?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay, I need
dude, to watch, you gotta watch it. It's so good.
God damn it. Freaking, I'm trying to watch movies, Rose.
I'm sorry. I wish it was a movie. I'm sorry. I know, man.
You freaking intrigued me enough. God damn it.
And then like fast forward to where Gypsy is now. Like her husband that she married in prison, she now divorced.
In prison?
Yeah, they got married while she was in prison.
this is the
so okay yeah yeah so okay. She met this guy Ryan while she was in prison. They got married while she was in prison, but now they're divorced, or they're working on their divorce, and then now she's back with this guy Ken, who apparently she had talked to in prison before she met Ryan. So dude, hey, freaking, it's just insane.
Messy.
It's very messy. But yeah, dude, it's in like, I feel for Gypsy for what she went through. Like, no child should go through what she did with her mother, but the way that she went about it, no, honey, no. Like, I don't know. Like, I wish that there was another way. And like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if there was another way.
There was.
Yeah.
You could have just freaking deuced out.
Yeah. Everyone's just like, she went the minute she knew, she could have stood up and proved to everybody that she had nothing wrong with her. But just, yeah, dude, it's a freaking messy situation.
Oh man.
My favorite thing ever is so the house is still standing. Someone bought the house.
As they do.
Yeah. And like, you know, people will drive by, take pictures and stuff like that, try to walk on the property, but there's signs that say
don't.
Don't. And freaking in the video that someone did, Gypsy commented, "I can't believe all you people, a tragedy occurred there," and all this stuff. And someone commented, "A tragedy that you caused." So you don't got no room to talk.
Oh man. Dude, there's a lot of shit at play there. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Dude, oh freaking, boy. Nine years seems very light. Do I feel life in prison? No. Do I feel nine was enough? Also, no. Especially for plotting that.
Yeah, no, seriously. It.
But I cannot wait to watch this show.
Dude, it's so good. It is so good.
It is going on my watch list as soon as we are done recording.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Anyway,
back to Joey King.
Yeah, she love her to death. and I love that she decided, I love that she like will do things that other people won't. Like, I don't want to say like, gosh, that makes it sound like she just takes like shitty jobs or something. But what I mean is like, she, where most people will like just do their voice, like freaking looking at you, Chris Pratt and Garfield, or freaking Samuel L. Jackson in anything that he does a voiceover for, or like she did something to her voice that just made it like almost indistinguishable from someone else. And I love her for that.
Yeah.
I'm like, she can do characters where she other really people can't.
Yeah. Yeah, she really can.
But yeah, love her to death. And this cast was great. This wasn't their A game by any stretch of the imagination, but they were good.
Yeah, no, like all the ones that came back to play their characters from the previous movies, just as good as the first time I saw them. Everyone did great.
So where are you sitting with acting?
I feel the acting was super solid. I think acting, I'm going to be at an 85.
Honestly, I might be right there. I might be a little lower than you on that one. I mean, barely, though. I'm like 84.
All right.
All right. Next up, we got character development, which this was definitely a weaker zone.
Yes.
But it's also a children's movie, so it's like, how bad can it actually be?
I mean, hey, but like you say, it's a children's movie, but there can be really good development in a children's movie.
There can be.
You Inside Out too.
True. Very true. This is one I don't think had any real arc.
Like Gru doesn't really go anywhere in this story.
No, like if anything, he kind of like backtracks a little bit. And becomes like a little bit more vindictive.
Yeah. Because
he goes to Maxime to be like, "I did steal your song." I'm like, dude, what a bitch. Like I love that Maxime's just like, dude, why are you even here?
Oh shit.
Like, I was totally with him. I'm just like, gosh, like, I freaking hate this dude too.
Oh shit.
Then he's calling him out. He's like, what? You could have gone on after me. I didn't own the song. He's like, it's not my fault you were too much of a coward to go up after me. I'm like, dude, you asshole.
Yeah. Too much, girl. Too much.
Yeah, like, how did this dude end up becoming a hero?
Oh, man.
How about shit? And I it freaking bugged me that he was like, it almost felt like the role should have been reversed, where Maxime was kind of the loser and then Gru was like the freaking hero.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think they've probably thought that they've done that a little too much with the villains. Like they did that with Balthazar. I swear they did that with Balthazar. Like when we see how he was younger with Vector. So I'm sure they're just like, okay, let's not do a third time's a charm thing with that.
True. Yeah, this one kind of on the average side. Like, this is probably the lowest category I'd give this, which I'm probably sitting at like a 70. It was meh at best. Like, there wasn't any real growth.
Yeah, I think I'm going to match you. Like, you know, he's still the same Gru as, you know, the previous three. But yeah, like you said, there's no character development here. Like, yeah, you see him, you know, like go back to like feeling good. Like, it is cool, like seeing like how far he's come with being a dad and a husband. Like, that's awesome. And then you see him get to be a villain, just a villain again for just a split moment. So like, there's some fun things sprinkled in for Gru's character, but yeah, it's definitely nothing to write home about.
Yeah, I think the only reason this isn't any lower is because of the what was going on with his kid.
Okay, yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, other than that, it was like nothing. All right, moving on over to animation. This wasn't half bad.
It's on par with all the other ones, and that's not a bad thing. I think the animation in not only all the Despicable Me movies, but Illumination movies is actually really, really good, and I feel they don't get enough credit for it.
Absolutely. And dude, like the opening sequence with the car was awesome to look at.
Dude. And the freaking like new Pharrell Williams song that they were playing, like that fits so well. I love that.
Yeah. Trying to think if I had any other like complaints about it, but I mean, it looked good. I would like to see Illumination throw a bit more scenery, like shots into their movies. Cause like, yeah. I said, like with the opening sequence with the car, like you got to see like the wide mountains, dark, and like just different angles and stuff. And I think that that's something Illumination does really well. Like, I'm thinking back to like with Super Mario, like the fire flower fields.
Oh yeah. Dude.
And the, like just looking on the Mushroom Kingdom was freaking awesome. Like, they do scenery really well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, this one I'd say is pretty high. I'm probably at like 91.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm just gonna be just one below you at a 90.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, just like solid animation throughout. The characters looked great. Like, I'm sure I haven't seen the first Despicable Me in a while, but I'm sure if I'm literally just comparing how Gru looked in the first one to this fourth one, literally the only difference was just there's just a little bump in the animation.
Yeah.
Like the pixels look better.
And as it should be.
Yeah. So no, like they did a great job. I feel also one thing that I feel they did a really good job with was the animation for the Mega Minions. Like, that looked really, really good.
That looked super good. I loved the like the parodies of stuff, like the Spider-Man parody with the stretchy one, and he like flings the the train backwards. I thought that was so good.
Oh yeah, that was great.
And then I love the laser eye minion.
Yeah, can we just call him Cyclops Minion?
Yeah,
that's really what he is.
And then all the other minions were cool. I wish that they had a bit more of a distinction between the strong minion and the rock.
Yeah, right. Like they, like even like, in
so
the first
two
in
super strong minions.
Yeah, the in the trailer when we first saw that threw me off. I'm like, no, almost like basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's like exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But I love that they that the minions just like went around and saved people the way that the minions freaking do.
Yeah,
that... Like freaking I love that the strong one like threw a, like made a boomerang and tossed it and it went around the bad guy and came and knocked the victim out.
That was so good. And freaking I love the rock one, you know, swallows the bomb, but the his belch freaking just like destroys everything.
Oh man.
I wish though that like I don't know, like I get why, you know, you want them to all have the same spandex costume, but I wish that like the costumes had a little more variety.
Yeah, I think they could have done something different with
the costume. They were just so plain. Like honestly, like hell, I wouldn't have even considering that they're yellow too. I'm sure some kids were just like, were they even wearing costumes or were they just freaking just minions in just their regular attire?
Yeah, I want to look or just look at what they did. Yeah, they were still wearing like their basic overalls and stuff. It was just like they just had some like spandex stretched over them.
Like if they wanted to, you know, like pull like a classic Superman where like the only thing like you don't have the overalls, but you have like, you know, like the classic like underwear and put like the like. Well, OK, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, like that would just look like the minions wearing thongs.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. And it'd probably look weird having a G like right in the. Yeah. OK, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, like looking at them, it's like, what else could you do? Because you have them in there, like in overalls, you got the basic gloves, you got the goggles. It's just spandexed yellow instead of their normal like skin tone.
Yeah,
like I genuinely cannot think of another thing that they could have done.
Oh shit!
At least not anything that they could have done that would have made them feel like minions.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say, why do they have to make the flying one look like a cone head?
That was funny.
But I'm like, what the hell?
I don't think that they were going for cone head. I think they were just going for like a rocket.
All right, okay, that makes more sense.
But yeah, like I legitimately cannot think of a single other thing that they could have done.
Oh shit,
not anything that would look cool, because I was thinking like, okay, what if they just like extended the overalls a little bit or included those a bit more, but no, that would look dumb. They did what they could. Like shit. I'd love to know how long, like I'd love to see some like concept art for what they were like thinking about doing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. All right, moving on over to music. This soundtrack wasn't half bad.
It wasn't. I mean, you can never go wrong with Everybody Wants to Rule the World. That shit's just a classic.
Oh yeah.
But like even the opening theme song, like I brought up, the opening Pharrell song, I forget what it's called.
It felt like written specifically for this movie.
I think that's what from what I remember, like Pharrell Williams like writes a new song for every Despicable Me movie.
That's cool. That's really cool of him.
Cause like the I'm Happy song, he wrote that specifically for Despicable Me 2.
No joke.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This soundtrack was good. I wouldn't say this is like musical masterpiece or anything, but yeah. I'm sitting like I'd probably be at like a 7.5, so I could go either way with whatever you want to go.
You know what, Evan? I'm gonna go. I think I want to go 8, just because for the freaking everybody wants to rule the world scene. That whole thing just put a smile on my face. So I think I gotta go 8.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got character design, which obviously we're going to do this off of the minions. Our minions grew, all that good stuff. Very distinct looks. Like, I'll give them that.
I feel Illumination is one of the best animation studios when it comes to their character design. It's very easy to pick their characters out from amongst the crowd, which is a really good thing to say.
Insanely easy. And they do a really good job at, like you said, being able to pick it out. Like, I was reminded through this movie when they, went to a dog. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I was thinking Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
So, like, they have a very distinct style, and I love that. I love when an animation studio is able to have that.
Yes. Definitely.
And then the minions were the minions. Like, you can never go wrong with them. The mega minions were cool. Like, I really liked all of their looks. Like, they were goofy, just kind of like accentuated their powers a little bit, and I liked that. Gru was how he always has looked. Same with his wife and the kids. The only new addition was the baby, and I thought the baby had a pretty decent look, too.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably a 9 for me.
Yeah, no, I can give you. Yeah, I can give you that. I'll match that.
Yeah, I can't quite justify a 10 yet. Same here. I mean, it's close, though. It's really close. But I think the first Despicable Me, I would give a 10 to.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
And it's just like, okay, you've done nothing else with the outfits, or haven't changed anything with the outfits. So I think that, like, brings it down to a 9, or like anything consecutively that they haven't messed with would bring it down to, or it would be at a 9.
Yeah.
It's like, you've already gotten the points for, like, the very distinct design or distinct look. It's like everything else after that, it's a 9.
Yeah.
All right, last up, we got our own personal scores.
Who's going first?
Who do you want to hear from first?
I actually really want to hear from you first.
Oh, boy. I like this movie. I had a lot of fun going to this because I had a kid, and she's starting to understand context a little bit. So I thought that was super fun, and she made it a little bit more enjoyable for me. I loved her little commentary through it, and I love that it's just like it's at that perfect level where she's not talking through the movie. She's just like making the little ooh noises, or like, oh, that's not good, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, I love that all day long. And then it was able to spark emotion in her, which I was really impressed with. Not only like just from her, but from the movie itself. And it makes sense. She has a new baby brother, and this baby was in danger, and she like really like connected with that. And I loved it.
That's adorable.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have held this movie in as high regard if I didn't see it with my kid, but I think overall it was still, objectively speaking, I think it was really well put together. It was exactly what it needed to be, and it added some new fun elements to the minions. So I probably sitting at like an 82.
I actually expected you to be higher.
No, cuteness can only get you so far.
Yeah, you know, fair enough. I did not see this with, you know, a child, because, you know, I am childless. I do not have a kid, but I did see it, you know, with a good friend, Sammy. So that was fun. But yeah, I feel I got what I expected from Despicable Me 4, and that is not a bad thing. These movies are very consistent, and I appreciate that. Did a fourth one need to happen? No, it didn't. But am I mad that a fourth one happened? No, because I still enjoy these, seeing these characters and the stories that Illumination decides to tell with them. The Minions are funny in small doses, not in the Minions movies, but here they are funny. And just, yeah, like I had as good of a time as I did with the other ones. So personally, I'm going to be at a 74.
Fair enough. All right. Going through these categories real quick, starting off with story, we are sitting at a 76. The writing got bumped up to, or a little bit, to a 77.5. The acting is sitting at an 84.5. The character development is our lowest category, sitting at a 70. The effects, or the animation, is our highest category, sitting at a 90.5. The music is sitting at an 8 out of 10. The costumes are sitting at the character design is sitting at a 9 out of 10. And then our personal score ended up averaging out to a 78. With that, the final All Bros letter grade for Despicable Me 4 has come out to a B minus.
Yeah, okay. That's a really good score for it.
That's a damn good score for it. Yeah. I was so afraid it was going to end up in the C plus. Like that would just felt like a little too low.
I agree. Yeah, no, B minus is perfect.
Yeah. And already I think this is in a perfect position.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited.
So this is sitting at an 81.43%. So this puts it above The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Fair.
It is above Asteroid City.
I'm trying to remember what Asteroid City is.
It's that Wes Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. How the hell did I not forget that? I love that movie. Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. It is above Dune.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
It's above Good Boys.
Okay.
And it is above Super Mario Brothers.
Wait, like
1993.
Oh, okay. It's like, wait, dude, whoa.
I saw that one too, and it scared the shit out of me. I was like, oh no. Oh no.
I was like, wait a minute. Didn't we give that like an A minus or something?
Yeah,
like
we did.
Okay. I was like, bro.
We would have had discussions.
Yeah.
Like this episode would have not gotten released and we would have like, we needed like
say, redo.
Yeah. Rebuild the system from the ground up. But yeah, so going the opposite direction, and this is where I said, I think it's perfect. It's sitting below Migration.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree with that.
Yeah. Right.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it is also below The Matrix Reloaded.
Okay.
It is below Birds of Prey and The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
All right.
It is below The Bad Guys.
Okay.
And it is below Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny.
All right. Yeah, that's a pretty damn good ranking.
Yeah. I like this a lot. Like it's a really good zone.
Yeah. Especially with Migration. Like that is just perfect.
Yeah. It's close. It is so close. It's a 0.2% difference.
Okay. Damn. Okay. Yeah. I love that. That's fantastic. All right. Well, unless you have anything else you want to say about Despicable Me 4.
Nope.
I think we all know. Pretty much it. We all know Caleb is anticipating Despicable Me 5. We know it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Toy Story can get a fifth one, you can bet as sure as day that Despicable Me will get one.
Oh man, dude. Yeah.
But okay. Well, anyway, this has been the All Bros Podcast. If you want to find literally all of our other episodes, if you want to listen to more from us, you can find us anywhere. You listen to podcasts. We are on Spotify, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, iTunes Podcast. It's iTunes Podcast, right? Or is it Apple? No, it's Apple Podcast.
Apple Podcast now.
Wow. I'm fired. But yeah, literally anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us. If you want to check out our social media, you can do so. We are at Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, X, all of those. Just search at the All Bros and you'll find us. If you want to email us, so this relates to both. So if you want to send us a recommendation for a movie you want us to break down, or do like a mini breakdown of a movie, or you'd like want to be a guest on our podcast, either reach out to us on any of those social media platforms or email us. You can do so at theallbroschannel@gmail.com. You can check out our website, tinyurl.com/user/theallbroschannel. Or you could check out our merch store, which is tpublic.com/user/theallbroschannel. Is it channel or just the All Bros?
TeePublic?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the All Bros channel.
Okay. Where you can see all of the cool-ass, amazing cover arts that Caleb does for these episodes and get them on like a shirt or something, because they're all cool as fuck. Not me.
Maybe
too.
Maybe overselling it a bit.
I am not. I don't think I am. But anyway, next week, we'll be, breaking down A Quiet Place Day One, which I am actually, so I've already seen it. Caleb hasn't. And I am really excited to talk about this one, because this was my first Quiet Place movie in theaters. And yeah, I'm excited.
Was it an experience?
Yeah, it was.
Damn.
I will say, I mean, I didn't see it like in any special theater. It was just like, considering that it's been out for a while, it was like on like one of the smaller screens. Yeah, it was, and it was also on like one of the smaller screens. So it wasn't no XD experience.
Fair enough.
But I am still glad that I saw it in theaters, and it was really funny. Like during one of the most quietest points, that a lady had to move her straw in her cup. And bite my lip from not laughing my ass off.
Oh man. I may go see this in theaters. It will honestly be dependent on how my week next week looks, but
okay.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, no, I think you're gonna enjoy it either way. But yeah, you can look forward to that next week. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we'll catch you guys next week. So long.
Deuces.